Hi, everyone. It's again, it's a wonderful night, being a beautiful day out there. But it's always a nice night when we can get together around God's Word. And of course, we're going to be looking at Proverbs again tonight, and we're going to be looking particularly at Proverbs chapter 2. I have read through Proverbs probably many times, and actually over the last few weeks, I've read through Proverbs several times. And I can tell you that this exercise we're going through right now, this has been a real blessing to me. The Proverbs is a book of, well, you jump all over the place. There's usually not a continuity of context in it. You know, you get a proverb, but it has nothing to do with what preceded it or comes after it. But tonight, I think that chapter 2 of Proverbs has some continuity. It's got a flow to it, which is a little bit different. And, you know, we have to remind ourselves in Scripture that if any of us lack wisdom, we have to ask God, who will give to all of us liberally and without reproach. It will be given to us. You know, there's two types of wisdoms. There's, if we go to Ephesians, I believe it is, or James, as James actually, we read of demonic wisdom, the wisdom of Satan. And we have the wisdom of the world. And then we have heavenly wisdom, which is the wisdom of God. And of course, we as believers, we must pursue the latter. We must pursue heavenly wisdom. You know, I probably told this story before. It's a very, very brief thing. When I was growing up, I had a father who, unlike most sons, my father was 42 when I was born. So I didn't have the kind of father that went out in the field and threw a ball around and kicked a soccer ball or whatever. But I did have a father who I figured to be quite a wise man. And so I enjoy growing up with an elderly father, an older father. And he once told me, Dad was a businessman. And he told me once, he says, one bit of advice I'd like to give you would be that you learn in life that if you only scratch the surface, all you'll get is dirt under your fingernails. And if you want to get the nuggets in life, you've got to dig deep and sometimes very deep. And there's a lot of truth to that. And we find that here in chapter 2 of Proverbs. You know, I was going to say to you tonight that I've got an imaginary pickaxe next to my chair tonight. I don't, but I'm going to say that. And you might say, John, are you kind of losing it? What are you going to do with a pickaxe at the Bible study? Well, the pickaxe is meant for you to dig and dig deep. And hopefully tonight, that as we dig into the Word of God, we dig a little bit deep, that we will see a nugget, a special nugget of gold, which will be called wisdom. And I think that's a great thing. You know, we as Christians must learn that to pursue God, to find God and to find wisdom, is not an easy task. It requires effort, and it requires a lot of effort. So we're going to read in chapter 2, and it starts off with, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom, apply your heart to understanding, cry out for discernment, lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the path of justice, preserves the way of the saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good truth. Now, when I looked at this, there was words that started to jump off the page of me. The first thing that caught my eye was the words at the beginning of the verse, my son. We all know the story of Solomon back in Chronicles, when God asked him, what shall I give you? What do you want? And of course, Solomon cried out for wisdom. He wanted wisdom. And God gave it to him. Plus, he gave him a lot more. So here is Solomon. A reputation that he was the wisest man ever. He was a wise man. A wise king. He ruled wisely. And we all know the story of the two women who came before him with a child. And one said they were arguing about whose child it was. And of course, Solomon in his wisdom says, give me a sword and I'll cut the babe in two. Well, the real mother said, of course, no, give her to the other woman. So Solomon was a wise man. So here he's taking time to sit down with his son. Now, I don't know which son it was because he had four sons. But he sat down with his son. But I like the way the Word of God records it. My son. That's a very endearing term. You know, that when a father sits down with his son, and, you know, in Scotland, when we speak to sometimes our children, our sons and daughters, you know, my son, that's I called him. I have a son here in Canada. And many a time I call him my son. I love my son. I think a lot of him. I tend to go. And, you know, here is Solomon says to his son, my son. What a wonderful, wonderful term that Solomon uses here. Now, I want you to notice this in these first four verses, there is a number of what would be called verbs that are in these verses. First of all, verse 1, my son, if you receive and treasure my commands, you incline your ear to wisdom, apply your heart to understanding. If you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her and search for her as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. Now, when we're seeking wisdom, we look for wisdom where? Where will we find wisdom? Now, you know, there are many men in this world today. I think of one in particular. His name is Tony Robbins. Tony Robbins is the modern guru of positive thinking. And, you know, when you listen to what he has to say or read what he has to say, it is so close to what's written in Scripture. But the one thing he'd not acknowledge, that God is the giver of that kind of knowledge. God is left out of the picture. And as we read through the Proverbs, we find that that's the contrast all along. It's the difference between the worldly wise man and the godly wise man. And so Tony Robbins was a great speaker or preacher or teacher of positive thinking. God, in his word, first of all, God is the source of wisdom. God is the source of wisdom. And the first thing we notice that is why I've got my pickaxe next to me is because you have to dig for this. This doesn't come easy. This is not, you cannot possess the wisdom of God or wisdom from God by flicking over the pages of your Bible, reading a couple chapters a day, and not doing intense study. Remember my dad said, scratch the surface, you dirt on your nails, dig deep, you'll find the gold nuggets. And that's him in Proverbs. God is asking us to dig deep. First of all, Solomon's son says, my son, if you receive, you know, I can, the word of God, you can read the word of God all you want. You can boast that you read through the Bible twice a year, the whole Bible. But if you don't receive it into your heart, all that reading's in vain. God wants to speak to us through his word. That is the way that God speaks to us. God does not give us any heavenly visions now. God does not give us any strange dreams and thoughts. But God does give us a vision of himself in his word. Then it says, treasure my commands. He talks about treasure. You know, what do you do with treasure? Oh, some people would take and hide it. Some people are proud to show it. They say, oh, look what I have. I have this, I have that, I have the next thing. But we have to look at the word of God, and as God commands us in his word as to how we should walk and live, first of all, to do it before him, who is a righteous, holy God. So we have to look at commands. We have to treasure those commands. You know, it goes a little further in there and says, within you, within you. You know, I was just speaking to a friend of mine in Scotland, it was about a week ago. This is a brother who was my mentor as a young Christian. And when I was talking to Edward, we always talk in scripture. We speak for about an hour on the phone, and we're always talking around scripture. He's 92 now. This brother, whenever I'm talking, he can quote scripture. I only wish and pray that I could quote scripture the way he does. But it's not just he quotes a piece of it. He can quote verse by verse by verse. And that's what God really wants. He wants us to take the word of God. And it says, within us. Within us. Inclining our ear to wisdom. Notice all the body parts that are involved here, by the way. Incline your ear. Apply your heart. Your voice, cry out for wisdom. Lift up your voice, your voice. So our whole being is to be crying to God. Wisdom. God doesn't want to be selfish about wisdom. He's got it all. But he wants to give us wisdom, and he wants to give it to us liberally, without holding anything back. But we have to be able to incline our ear and listen to what he has to say. And when we talk about discernment, God wants us to investigate his word. He wants us to scrutinize it. He wants us to examine it. He wants us to be like the Bereans of old, searching the scriptures daily to see if these things are so. And, you know, when we look at understanding, you know, it's not, I love to read the word of God. I usually do reading in the morning, and it's usually for about 2-3 hours. But I like to then, after I do my reading, I like to sit back and I like to reflect, to think about, to meditate on what I've been reading. You know, when I was working at the factory for Ford Motor Company back in England, I gained a lot of knowledge. But I also not only with that knowledge, I had to gain an understanding of that knowledge. And, you know, we read the word of God not to gain knowledge. It's there. We must, our minds must work, must absorb what we're reading. But we're there to make sure that as we reflect on it, that the word of God becomes a part of us. A part of us. When we're seeking for wisdom, it's going to be hard work. It's a lifetime of work by searching the scriptures and getting to know about the Lord himself, about God. You know, a man called Tozer, he wrote a book that is called In Pursuit of God. And he's not talking about unbelievers pursuing God, believers. He's talking about some personal things that relate to himself, that it's a lifetime of seeking for knowledge, for understanding, for wisdom. And, you know, when you go to chapter 3, you go to verse 13, it says, "Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than profits of silver, her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that you may desire. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all those who retain her." So we see that there is a big difference between the wisdom of man, the wisdom of the world, and if you are possessing the wisdom of God, there is a big difference in the person. And that's what God wants to see, you know. He wants to see us grow in grace. He wants to see us grow in the knowledge of himself. And with that, as we read and absorb and digest in our being, we will get to know God better, who he is. We know that he's an awesome God. We know that he is the creator of the world and of all the universes out there. So we know of his greatness, we know of his great knowledge, we know of his presence in a sense, but we're only grasping little bits of it. God wants us to grasp more and more, because the more and more we understand scripture, the more and more we will understand him. And of course, our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, I go to the New Testament and I look, the way I thought about this was, look at John 15. You know, there's a price to pay to gain wisdom. It's not going to come easy. We're not talking here about salvation. We're talking about growth in the Lord. we're talking about Christian growth. And I've always thought about the vision of the vine in John 15. Israel is referred to as a vine brought up out of Egypt. But that vine was a barren vine. It was no good. It didn't bear fruit for God. And Jesus Christ, in contrast, says, I am the true vine. When you look at chapter 15 of John's Gospel, you'll see that when you're reading it, it says that he desires, as we abide in the vine, and note the word abide, abide. As we abide in the vine, he wants to see fruit. He wants to see more fruit. He wants to see much fruit. And of course, as we continue to abide in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we continue to follow him, surrender. You know that hymn we sing, is I Surrender All? You usually hear that sound at a gospel meeting, I surrender all. But you know, that is so appropriate for believers today, too. On the altar, Lord, I surrender all for you. Now, we expect the Holy Spirit to work within us. He is within us. He dwells there. And he is working. But, you know, we have to be willing to submit ourselves to him so that he can work in us and through us to the world. I was thinking that every believer is a student in the university of God. But just think about it this way. In these universities, this university is a huge place, and in each room there is only one student. And that one student is you or I. And the Holy Spirit is the teacher. And we have a one-on-one with the one who teaches us the Holy Scripture. And that's where we should be submitting, surrendering to him as he wants to work in us and through us to the world. And then I thought of another passage. I think I made a note of it here somewhere. It was, I think, in Ephesians that, you know, we are, how would I say it? We have, in Ephesians, we have so much blessing and riches in glory with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are seated with him in the heavenlies. You know, there are treasures beyond our imagination to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ, to be found in the Word of God. But we must be willing to take hold of it, spend time with the Lord and with his Word. And from that, we know that God will speak to us. We may not hear a voice, but believe you me, God will speak to us from his word. And, you know, we need to realize that, you know, if we want to win a gold medal at the Olympic Games and we're at the start line, we have to run to the finish line to get that medal and to be there. And it's the same with the Christian life. If we want to possess these things we've just been discussing in chapter 2 of Proverbs, then we must be willing to strip off every weight that easily hinders us, get rid of it. And as we get rid of it, we will be able to run that race. And we will be able to run it honorably. And we'll be able to run it right and well for our Lord. Thank you for listening.